are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So hunger is a real issue in many, many, many communities. But the good news is that the church can be a buffet of hope and sustenance. So let's explore how faith communities can address food insecurities, not just by saving meals, but by creating sustainable solutions that leave no one at the table hungry. We are joined by Pastor Chinyama. I'm praying, me and him are praying that the network is going to hold. Fundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. How are you? And how are you, dear listeners?
We are good, Fundisi. Thank you so much for coming through once again to speak to us. I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer before we start?
Let us pray. Our God and our Father, whose dwelling is in the highest heaven, glory, praise, and honor be given unto you. We ask now that may you bless us this moment, even as we begin this study. May the Holy Spirit be the one that will talk to us and give that divine utterance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Fundisi, the issue of hunger is not only in a particular country or a particular continent, but in almost the whole world. Villages we have everywhere, or towns that are, you know, that are struggling, and even sometimes even in affluent areas where the food now is starting to become expensive. So, what kind of initiatives can churches implement, to effectively address food insecurity in the communities they are built in?
All right. A good question it is. I think number one thing is let our churches, our congregations there come up with strategies that will enable, you know, the community to either grow food or buy food. How can we break these two down to grow food? The question will come is, does the church have some church land somewhere where some work can be done? Or if it's buying food, are the members of that particular church creating an enabling work environment? Are they creating job opportunities or skill opportunities so that this issue of food security is addressed permanently? You know, we don't want an issue where it's always giving and giving and giving. It's better we give through an empowerment whereby from there somebody can take it up and be able to stand on their own. Strategies should be brought up.
So looking at, you know, you saying that the issues of giving, we know, I think even in some churches, one mentions which ones, they even know that if they approach this person, you know, they are going to get the food groceries that they have asked for, or they are going to get something. But how can now the congregations, you know, be encouraged to donate those food and resources to their local food banks? Because you find sometimes, you know, the Dorcas ladies are collecting food and stuff like that. And you find that not everyone is fully participating. Not everyone is bringing whatever that they are asking for. It's just the selective few each and every single month. So how can we encourage, you know, everybody to participate? Because even as little as you have, that one, it does go a long way.
Yeah, I actually like the last statement where you said even the little that you have actually goes a long way. You know, there's this kind of notion that goes like, no, me, I have nothing here where I am. Let those that have. There's some of us, the VIPs, be able to contribute. Us who are not even on that list, you know, there's nothing we can bring. So, dear listeners out there, congregants, let us be able to realize and know that, number one, no one in life has everything. Take note of that. Write that one down. No one in life has everything. And number two, no one in life has nothing. Yeah. The one who has nothing is a dead person, a dead body. Yeah, there is nothing, it's just a dust, and then the breath of Christ is out. So how can, you know, congregations encourage their members to donate these resources? You know, us as people of the congregations, let us show that the donations that are being brought by whoever has brought whatever quantity, whatever commodity it is, let us show them that we are really putting these to good use and fair usage. So there's a difference between good use and fair usage, good use, we will give. Maybe we are just targeting the same person, the same people over and over. But fair use, are we spreading this food bank across board? Because some people will say, ah, Timaona Chabi, people are given, but well, some of us have never received KK. Are we even counted? So let us show the donors that, well, we are putting these things to good use. And number two, let us also appreciate their efforts. Somebody has brought a bag of maize, especially in a year where we are hit with erratic water supply. They've brought a bag of maize, sacrificing. And then you're not appreciating them. You're not showing them that, well, we are so thankful, you know, for this. So let us put these donations to good use and let us appreciate every effort, no matter how big, no matter how small. By so doing, we will encourage everyone. You will be encouraged, dear moderator, to bring more because people are showing appreciation.
So we have, depending on where you are, where people, you know, they would have food, community gardens. I remember when I was younger, in our primary school, there was a garden where us as the students would be the one who are working the garden. I still don't get that part. But anyway, we worked it and then would plant, your simple things like your spinach, your tomatoes, and everything else. And they would sell, though the produce to the local communities at very, very reasonable prices, like it was basically giving it away, but they would have that, and that looked like a community garden. Whilst in some places, they're actually just having a person who has land, and then they just plant, water it, and then whoever is hungry, they would come, and take some spinaches, some tomatoes there. So how important are those gardens, for example, in terms of combating hunger, and how can the church get involved? Because some churches, they have land, Mfundisi, very land, much land, and it's just weeds there, So how can churches, get involved? Should they offer parts of their land, not offer it, but work the land so that people, the community can eat? Or how can we go about it?
Okay, first and foremost, you see, land is a blessing. And once this blessing is in correct hands, wow, it will be a double portion of a blessing to everyone, including the church itself. So for those congregations that are in places where there is vast land, Africa is still being developed and there's still plenty of arable land such that most of it is in the hands of the church. So the primary role there is that this land should serve as an open space for development, skill development, and also practical aid that will imply hands-on skills for the church and the community. So let us not watch this land, dear friends. Let us inquire from the church. Do we have someone who is good in agriculture, who can train people how to plant some rape, some cauliflower, if we produce these things, we will make revenue not only for the church, but also for the community. Okay. And others will come, like you mentioned in your school times, you'd grow these things and people would come and buy at almost a giveaway price. So we can be able to raise these things and we'll combat this issue of hunger, by being able to supply food. We may not give everyone, no, but at least we'll be able to give as far as our production will be able to cater for. So churches can get involved by providing either the seed or the capital and also offer some training and equip members for service, not members of the church, but even members of the community. So as a church, let us be able to call people on board that have the know-how and then provide the seed, provide the capital, provide the training. Then our communities will never be the same. People will say, those people are a place where I would love to dwell. Why? Because they are not isolating themselves. Maybe even the worship they worship is genuine. So I have a reason to follow them. Let me follow them.
So what about policies in Mfundisi? How can now the church advocate for policies that ensure, healthy food for all? And not just policies, for example, in terms of the government or the NGOs, even in our own church, because we just spoke now about, having that ground being tilled and then we're having produce. But there will be that just one policy that this one elder will bring. will bring up.
Okay.
And then now we're unable to share the produce now because the policy says, you know, anything like that. So if we do have policies that are, for example, in a way, not necessarily for sharing and ensuring healthy food, how then now can the church, you know, be involved in terms of making it easier or working on the policies that are going to make sure that everyone has enough food to feed their families?
Okay. First and foremost, we should understand that policies are not something that is fixed, such that it cannot be altered. Let us realize that policies are ideas or rules that we set up. But then if we see that these policies are disadvantaging us, we can sit again as a body, local body, and see how to adjust them. So what can we do as a church to advocate for these policies and ensure a healthy food for all? Number one, there are issues and notions we realize to say, well, nowadays it's GMO this, so we cannot use this kind of fertilizer into the crop. Why? Because it will affect us and so on. Well, in that aspect, it may be true, but we should be able to analyze. It's not everything that is made out there that is GMO, because once we just try again to grow these things, looking at the land, the way it has become now, it's not the way it was in the olden days, you know, my moderator. The land was virgin land, fertile land, stuff would grow and then produce healthy food for each one. So today we should be flexible, but maintaining our wisdom and seeking God's guidance in what we use, you know, to apply and to feed to nature in our garden or our animals. So what we should be able to do here is just provide an environment. When things are ready, produce is ready, let us not wait until things go bad. They rot. What I mean is they get rotten. Why? Yes. Because the policy says everything should be ready at once. That is when we'll be able to call for a day. People will come, line up. Then this protocol should be done. No. If there is need, even along the way, somebody is in need of some particular thing, and then it is ready on that particular land, well, we can be able to help out. Not wait for policy, because policy will make things go bad. And then we end up throwing them. So we can advocate for these policies by ensuring that we strike a balance between policy and what's important as at hand, as a community or congregation.
So as we're near the end, Mpundisi, you know, what are some of the ways that, you know, the church can use to teach people about issues of food security? And should we even be teaching people about, as the church pillar, you know, we're feeding you about the spiritual stuff. Hey, no, God, we pray, have faith. Should we even be teaching about spinaches and cabbages, you know, and potatoes? If yes, you know, how do we go about, you know, teaching the congregation about all things, issues of food security? You know, you're speaking about things being rotten and being spoiled there. That, no, man, if you have, you know, for example, a huge bag of onions that you have harvested, as an example, you can actually freeze them. You know, you can chop them up, freeze them, and then you just, when you cook, they still have those nutrients. They are still fresh and everything else. How then do we go about such things?
Okay, good question, good thought. It is when it comes to food security, you know, when we hear the word security, is having the necessary protection and safety, not just for today, not just for a week, but for as long as we are in existence. We need that security assurance. So we have to take note of these points. Number one, we should be innovative. What can we do? What skills do our members have that can be shared and then benefit everyone in the congregation and then spread out to the community, such that when people implement these, let's say, mangoes are produced, maybe in a country that only has mangoes once in a season, when these are harvested. So innovation doesn't mean you eat all those and then get full for that moment. You stop thinking and then your brain is clogged. And that's all. And what about when the season is off? Yes. So being innovative is there a dryer? Can we cut these and then preserve them, dry them, such that we can eat even when this season is gone? So we should be innovative. And then number two, we should practice conservative methods. Let us, whatever we harvest, we produce, let us see how best can we conserve these. We see this in Egypt when this brother Joseph was, you know, brought out of prison. Then the king had that dream. He explained, oh, my friend, there will be hunger and so on. So in the time of plenty, let us store and then conserve, meaning treat, and then apply proper methods such that termites won't come, and then we'll be secure until the dry spell is over. So we should practice conservative methods. In so doing, there shall be food security. Mm-hmm. And then identify also what's in our hands. What do we have?
Yes.
Some people will never start to do anything because they think they have nothing. Yes, no one is born with anything, but each time we are born, there is something that is in our hands, in our hands. Mm. So identify what's in your hands, then food insecurity will not be a problem. You will be in an environment where you'll be secure with food. You don't have to be in Francistown, in Pretoria, yeah, in Joburg, even in that small remote place, you can practice these methods, and God will bless you, and he'll keep you, and you will, through you, he will keep other people. I think that's the word I can put there. It's quite complex, but I think that's what we can look at there.
Yeah, indeed, Mpundisi, that's very insightful. And I think, you know, even us as the church, when we educate ourselves, you know, about this preserving methods, and then we teach others, it does help, you know, instead of having the knowledge all to yourself. There, someone has cabbages that are getting rotten. You know how to preserve them, but you're not telling. It is not quite good. So, Mpundisi, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer, you know, to our listeners and the church at large.
All right, let us pray together. Holy Lamb of God, Lion of the tribe of Judah, Prince of Peace and Lord of Lords, you alone who is worthy to unfold the scroll. Father, we thank you for these beautiful insights you gave unto us in this study where we are looking at the role of the church in combating food insecurity. Now, Father, may you bless us with wisdom that we should be able to pour out and utilize whatever resources our hands are exposed to. And Lord, remove this spirit of selfishness, whereby when we know something, we just keep it to ourselves. Father, help us to work the way you worked. You were filled with love because that's the foundation of your government, and you poured out love. And everyone who came across with you was influenced for eternity. Lord, may we be influenced by the Holy Spirit. May we be driven and propelled by your love. Let everyone out there who has something in their hands look at it as a blessing from you and utilize it to bless the person next to them. Be with us, Father, throughout all the activities of today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you. Blessed day.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.